Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello everyone, welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. No, your ears are not
deceiving you.
Yes, thank you, Lawrence. I played the full version of the theme because I thought it would be funny, and I was right. Welcome to this year's show of a podcast. My name is Nathan, where, as always, each and every week we introduce Lawrence and he tells us what happens on this show. Hello, Lawrence. Good
listeners
morning.
If you're shocked, so am I. So you're not
I
alone.
I played a different theme. I played the full version. I introduced it's all gone wrong already.
Still going wrong, Nathan.
Welcome to another Happy Pod.
Hi, Nathan. Right, tell me to shut up. This is where you normally get it back.
Lawrence, shut up.
Thank you. Tell me what the show is about.
Show, whatever.
Okay. Nathan, this is the show where every week we get together to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, it could be a video game, but the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so very prevalent. Nathan, hold on to your butts.
It is indeed Jurassic March, and what a march it is to be Jurassic in. Oh boy.
Do you need a nap? What's happened?
I think I might. Clearly, I'm not in podcasting shape today.
What's funnier is that this is not going to be known to the listeners, but like Nathan set up this fucking theme song joke for a good 3 minutes before.
I had to find it on YouTube.
He had so long to not be thrown off by this.
For anyone who's curious, our theme song is basically just a supposedly copyright-free piece of music that Lawrence found one day. And I say supposedly copyright free because it doesn't stop the numerous copyright claims I have received on YouTube every time we post an episode with it in. So,
look, they love it. It's fine.
So there we go. But yes, Lawrence, it's Jurassic March. We're here. I was quite upset at you, as I often am.
Okay.
Because I wanted to do the Jurassic World movies, okay?
Yeah.
Because, spoiler alert, I think it's the more fun trilogy, okay? Which I don't think is too... Well, it might be controversial for some people, but, you know, I think it's an okay saying. But I understand we'll need to do this one first. And I wanted to go straight into Jurassic World, but But, you know, after some reflection, I'm happy with Jurassic March. I think we can make Jurassic March an annual thing for the next 2 years and then completely stop it altogether. Because we will have run out of movies.
Or we could just cover other dinosaur movies.
Well, we might. Well, that is true. But then yeah. We might have another Jurassic March movie by that point as well. Jurassic Park movie.
So there's going to be like six and then one outlier in like in 2 years' time.
Well, yes, maybe potentially. But we'll see. Unless we just wait to do a whole trilogy again. But we don't know if they'll get that far. Anyway, you say some words now.
Okay, I will. You have a quick nap while I do this. All right. No, I don't think that's too controversial to say. I think, like, I haven't seen all the Jurassic Worlds, but, like...
Boo!
No, but they're the more, like, they're the newer blockbusters, aren't they? They're the more accessible ones. Because 2 and 3 of the original trilogy are, like, we'll get to them, but they're not number one. They're not Jurassic Park. Do you have any big childhood memories of this movie?
Yeah, of course! Dinosaurs, man. Dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. Who doesn't love dinosaurs? Every autistic kid... loves dinosaurs, all right? Did you love dinosaurs?
My mum wouldn't let me love this specific set of dinosaurs when
she
I was...
She didn't want you to be autistic, that's why.
No, mum! You can't be ableist like that, mum.
She was like, absolutely not. Let's nip this in the bud right now.
She doesn't know what she's done wrong.
No special interests for Lawrence, thank you.
No, I wasn't allowed to love dinosaurs. I was very much on the outside of
this. Why was she not allowed to love dinosaurs? Mary's not weirdly Christian, is she?
No, but it was... No, not specifically dinosaurs, but she'd heard that this film got a bit gruesome at times, which was largely overblown. But for a kid, it could be scary. I could see how kids would be scared by this.
This shares something in common with me, this movie, in the fact that it's we're both 30 years old.
Oh, yeah. This is the first movie that you were alive for the release of and I was not, that we've covered, I think.
I was not alive for the release of, technically. It would have came out earlier in the year, okay? It would have been a summer blockbuster, all right?
You're a jammy one. You keep clinging on.
But it was the same year I was born, so I'll claim that. We're both 1993 babies, me and Jurassic Park. We have that in common.
Nathan, general thoughts time, please.
Yes, good. It's dinosaurs, man. Dinosaurs are cool. I love dinosaurs. I love Sam Neill, Laura Dern. I love Jeff Goldblum. I love Santa Claus himself. David or Richard Attenborough. One of them. The dead one. It's a great mix. I love Sam Jackson smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Endlessly.
Endlessly smoking a cigarette. What's not to love? It's a good time. I think some people are like, this is cinema! And I'm like, it's fine. You know, it's good. But like, let's calm down a bit, all right? Like, but it's a good time. I enjoy it quite a lot. It's a very good movie. It's a very well-made movie. And it's very good. So yeah, it's a good, fun time. And there's dinosaurs, so I'm happy.
I will say...
Oh, you're going to say this is cinema, aren't you?
Well, this is the thing, right? Because here I was thinking, oh, finally, we're going to be on the right track. Nathan even suggested we do Jurassic March. Yes. I'm like, we're gonna finally be locked in for a good time to really chat about it. But I saw your 4-star Letterboxd review, and I noticed missing a star, Nathan.
4 stars is a very adequate and very fucking good. First of all, most movies I put on Letterboxd are either 4 or 5 stars, okay? Like... That's pretty much my go-to rating, all right? But you're acting like somehow I've slandered this movie by giving it 4 stars.
No, 4 stars is completely acceptable, perfectly good. In fact, a glowing endorsement.
Yeah.
However, hearing you say that some people call this cinema, Nathan, we may be in for another row podcast.
Oh, God.
Because this is the second coming of Christ, Nathan. I can be hyperbolic. But this movie is not me being... When I talk about this movie, I am not being hyperbolic. This movie is incredible. I watched it yesterday, not for the first time, for the second time. First time I watched it was like a year or so ago, but I was doing them for Caravan, so I was very much watching to be like, and making a note like, that's a funny shocked face, I'll write that time code down.
What's Caravan?
It is a YouTube series hosted by Nick Mason and Mr. Sunday Movies, James himself. Don't go check it out. Check this out. Stay here.
Okay.
They've got enough.
I was giving you a chance to plug yourself.
It's not me, though, is it? It's completely them.
It's your work.
It's mine and Ben's work, and we get paid to do it, but yeah. But that was the first time I watched it, and then I watched it yesterday. I would say, not for the first time, but like first time I sat down and like zeroed in on it. Mm. And I was like, oh man, this bangs. This is great. This is just really good stuff.
See, and I sat down and watched it yesterday, and I was like, oh, it's a bit slow in parts, isn't it?
Oh, see, I don't think so at all. What parts do you think are slow?
Every time there's not dinosaurs.
There's that autism you were saying.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this really drags when there's no dinosaurs on screen.
But that's when they get into all the ethics
It's a lot. Oh, fuck the ethics, man. I just want dinosaurs. It's a lot of people just like stood in rooms and just like, well, you know, we're also concerned with if we can. We didn't stop to consider if we should, you know?
And that's my next point. Without the ethics, you don't get some of Jeff Goldblum's best line deliveries of all time.
The ethics are fine, but it's a bit like, I mean, yeah, you know, like, I don't think anyone who watches this movie would disagree with the ethics of it, really.
Like, yeah, but it's flip-floppy, isn't it? Because they go from being like, these are the most beautiful things we've ever seen, and then they sit down in the room. The second they can't look at a dinosaur and marvel at its beauty, they sit down and go, this is really bad, actually. Hang on a minute. This is wrong.
Yeah. That is fine, but...
Oh.
It's no, like the scene, the Jurassic Park scene, you know, where they're in the Jeep and then Richard Attenborough's like, welcome to Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. It's beautiful. There's a brontosaurus, a brachiosaurus, I actually believe it is. And he's a beautiful boy. He's got a big long neck, and they're walking, they're having their fucking drink in the lake and stuff. The John Williams score swells, the look of sheer fucking shock and awe on Sam Neill and Laura Dern's face as they see those dinosaurs for the first time. It's like, that's us. That's us watching this movie.
Fucking
hell. I don't know how Spielberg did it, but he brought dinosaurs back to life. But then you have people sat in a room, and I'm like, but I get it. And yes,
it's got to be like, there. They can't blow their load with just dinosaurs endlessly.
You got to
give them a break. You to appreciate them, Nathan.
I just want to see that. I want to eat my dino nuggies and watch dinosaurs, Lawrence.
Have you heard that analogy of like if you have too many biscuits, people's mums used to be like, well, you know, if you worked in a biscuit factory, you'd be sick of biscuits.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah, look, that's what that is. That's what you're describing. Endless dinosaurs will not let you appreciate the dinosaurs when they're back, when they're on screen.
But I won't know until I have more dinosaurs.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Someone, Topher Grace, listening to this, make a cut of just dinosaurs. Just every time a dinosaur's on screen, trim it down and send
great.
It to us.
That'd be great.
I like that scene that you're saying, though, because it's like being the audience surrogate. It's very much like a fucking Sam Neill and Laura Dern's acting in that moment.
Mm.
Like it all hinges on them, because like the movie is incredible for its day, but 31 years on, you can see,
all right,
that's not real.
Yeah.
Well, so you've kind of got no, but you've got to be brought in by their performance, and like you have to believe that these like scientists who have both dedicated their lives to creatures they'll never see in the flesh, like that would be a life-changing experience, and they really sell it.
Of course,
which is really good. Yeah. What's your favorite big old dino in this?
I like a classic T-Rex.
Mm.
Yeah. Tyrannosaurus scene is a great scene, like when it first appears with the cars and stuff. It's a great scene. I love the Brachiosaurus just because it's a big, gentle boy.
Is that the one that they keep calling the Veggie-saur?
Yeah. Just big, long neck. Just wants to eat leaves and stuff.
Before we speak about dinosaurs, the hunter guy and Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
There's enough sexiness between them to make me question a few things about myself, is what I'll say about this movie.
Okay.
Mate, them thighs, he's wearing like his little Boy Scout outfit, the hunter guy. And he has got like the biggest cyclist thighs you have ever seen. That man walks for a living and you can tell.
Who's this, the hunter?
Yeah, the one that goes clever girl and then gets his head ravaged off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jeff Goldblum with his little open shirt and he's just like flirting with everyone. He's got endless riz for days. Just chatting up anyone he sees.
Will you ever stop burdening me with this fucking... with your... It's like you've pulled up a Gen Z dictionary. And you just seem... Oh, anyway, go on.
On God, Nathan, I don't think that's very fair to say.
On God, you are capping.
I think you are capping for real right now.
Oh, God.
But yeah, all right. What do you want to talk about? Because there is dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
We'll get to the dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
All right. Can we talk about? Can you allow me a few moments to talk about the script?
Fine.
Thank you. Look, Spielberg says he wasn't the only person that wrote on this, but like the
Michael Crichton.
That's the book it's adapted from. Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
David Koepp. It's probably not how that's pronounced. K-O-E-P-P. Koepp?
Maybe.
I did my best, David. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, man. They set up characters so fucking well. Before we've met a single one of the main trio in this, being Ian, Alan, and Ellie Sattler?
Sam Neill, Laura Dern, yeah. And Jeff Goldblum.
Okay, we're doing actor names. That's fine. We learned that Sam Neill is a digger who will get to the bottom of stuff. We know that Hammond hates inspections. They don't sit you down and tell you who the characters are for ages. It's all just like weaved into this conversation that the lawyer has with this guy.
Sam Neill is a man who loves to terrify kids, all right? That's what he does.
Yes, he loves it.
That's what he'll do, all right? Well, first of all, why is that kid at a paleontologist dig site or whatever?
Yeah, there was apparently there's a theory he's young Chris Pratt, but I don't think
bullshit.
He is.
No, he's not. And I also don't think that holds true with later movies.
Oh, they meet up, don't they?
They do meet up. Yeah.
He was like, "You traumatized me as a young boy.
You terrorized me as a kid. You like pulled out a raptor claw on me or whatever."
So much so, I was so scared of dinosaurs, I ended up working with them or something.
Yeah. No, yeah. But yeah, why is like the most annoying kid in the world on this fucking set? Actually, they're not very scary. Actually, I think you'll find that it's just a big turkey or whatever. So
you get the sense that Sam Neill is like, "You want to bet your life?
Yeah.
Look at me. I've dedicated my life to this. You're here because I'm running this shit."
But he's also like, "Gather around everyone, watch me own this 6-year-old boy right now."
This is the peak of what a man should do.
Exactly.
I like that Laura Dern in that instant, like it's not, I don't even know if it's part of the script, but because it's like in the background and you wouldn't notice it unless you like clocked it and you weren't looking directly at Alan Grant in the scene. But she goes, "Oh no, here we go."
Yeah.
It's like, does he do this a lot? Kids?
I reckon he does, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he pretends to electrocute himself later on to scare them.
Yeah, he terrifies them. He can't stop himself.
Yeah, and then he calls the boy who has just been freshly electrocuted a human piece of toast.
That was one of the funniest scenes in the movie when that boy gets electrocuted.
Oh, you didn't like him? You wanted to see him suffer?
No, not at all. It was just very funny.
I thought he was tense. Little cut in between Ellie, like, it's a good thing to get the power back on, but then I'm suddenly like, don't turn the power back on. They're on the fence.
Yeah, but it's funny, so it's fine.
That's true. I think calling a kid a human piece of toast, though, is a bit out of pocket if someone's just been electrocuted.
Nah, he's fine with me, mate.
Like, Jeff Goldblum has a line where, like, Alan Grant says, are you married? And he goes, occasionally. Tells me everything I need to know about him.
He's got three kids.
He's got three kids, and he's like, I'm always on the lookout for an ex-Mrs. Malcolm or something.
A future ex-Mrs. Malcolm or whatever.
Unbelievable writing. Like, I know it's such a simple line, but it just tells you everything you need to know about these characters. And it's so consistent.
Is that unbelievable writing?
I think so. All right, there's
I think you might be falling into the trap. Not falling into the trap, but I think you might be doing what a lot of film bros do. And, like...
Stop calling me this!
I won't. How to put this nicely? Like,
it's a recency.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's a...
I guess I am, then.
It's a bit of a director bias, I think. Because I think, like, if anyone else had wrote that line, you wouldn't be like, oh, you're so wrong. But because it's Spielberg, then I think people are automatically more willing to blow smoke up his arse. But I'm like... But that line, is it really that well written, or is it just the guy saying, hey, I'm a bit of a sleaze? And also, it's like 3/4 of the way into the movie, you know? Like, the setup for this character is done. you know? We know everything we need to by this point, all right? So, like, I don't think it's some great, like, oh, Spielberg's a master of dialogue moment. Like, Spielberg's great, all right? I'm not disparaging that. I just think that, you know, let's all calm down a minute here.
I get what you're saying, and it's not... If it was that one line, I'd take your point. But, like, in a bubble, yes. But, like, the rest of the script is just filled with little moments like that. And, like, little... Not even just character setup lines, but, like... Just great lines. And I don't have a director bias for Spielberg, right? Like, I don't think he's got a stellar record by any stretch, right? I Ready Player One, genuine dog shit. Like, genuine shit on a shoe.
It is, it is quite bad. We did it for this podcast, but we lost the episode.
Oh, that hurts even more. Some of the two episodes that we've lost that, like, genuinely I feel like could have been amazing. Well, actually, no, three. And there's plenty more as well. But The Last of Us, which was my mistake. Then the holiday special, which we watched the whole Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah.
And then we just lost any proof of that. And we were like, well, great. Yeah. Fantastic. And then that as well. Another thing we had to just force ourselves to get to the end of and then never reaped any benefit from.
Yeah.
It's a sad time.
All your fault.
No, I don't know if all of them. I'll take a few of them. I can't remember who Ready Player One was. I think that was you.
I don't think it was.
Well, I don't think it was me, so I guess we'll never know.
Okay.
let's just draw a line in there. Move on. No, I do see what you're saying, because there are, like, Spielberg has obviously got this, like, legend status that he's revered by.
Yes.
Right.
And he's good. He's made some great movies. He's made some fucking amazing movies, but
yeah.
I also think of it like his movies are great. I really don't want to make it seem like I'm not saying that, because they are fucking phenomenal. And genuinely some of my favorite movies when I was a kid. I fucking loved Spielberg movies. Fucking E.T. is an all-timer for me. Jaws, fucking phenomenal, man.
I want to watch Jaws again.
So
man.
Good. But, like, they're blockbusters. They're summer blockbusters. And people, like, seem to think of Spielberg as this, you know, auteur, indie little filmmaker. You know, making his...
I don't think anyone thinks he's an indie filmmaker anymore. Well,
no, maybe not indie, but this auteur filmmaker with his little passion project that, you know, that the studios are against and everything like that. But,
yeah.
He kind of always has been the big budget blockbuster guy. And he does them great. They're phenomenal. Fucking, he pretty much invented the summer blockbuster.
Mate, people said Jaws is the first blockbuster.
It is.
There's a genuine merit. Like, there's a genuine argument to be made that it introduced the concept of a blockbuster.
Yeah, it did.
No, I do get what you're saying. I do think he makes, every now and again, he'll come out of the woodwork with like a, have you seen The Fablemans? I know we've spoken about it.
I don't think we have.
No, as in, we've brought it up, but I don't know if you ever watched it.
I've never seen it.
It's like those kind of things. They're not small movies by any stretch, but they're the movies that like studios go, we don't mind losing a bit of money for this one. Like, because Spielberg has like that long-term kind of pullback. People will always go and check out something he's done years and years ago.
Of course.
But he pretty much he is the king of blockbusters. And I think this is his like prime era. Like he's on God mode in the 90s.
On God?
On God, he's capping for real, Nathan.
On God, he is capping for real. We'll be talking about Spielberg quite a bit this year.
Will we? Oh, fuck, we will.
Yeah.
Spoiling? Are we not spoiling? We've sold people before,
We've
right?
said it before, but no. Little sizzle.
That's right, we're doing 7 weeks of Ready Player One.
We absolutely are not.
we're gonna do a 2-hour podcast on each scene of Ready Player One.
No.
There's some fucking amazing stuff in this. Where do you land on the science? Do you believe it enough?
Yeah. It's fine.
It's that right amount of bollocks, isn't it?
It's the right amount of bollocks. There's a fucking a little mosquito. It's preserved in amber. It's got the blood of a dinosaur in it. Was this kind of mosquito still around in the Jurassic era? I don't know.
Probably don't worry not. About it.
Don't worry about it, you know? But who cares? And then, like, even fucking, you know, BD Wong, he's like, yeah, look, we filled the rest in with frogs or whatever. So, like, they're not 100% accurate. And like, and since this movie came out, in the 31 years that, you know, since this movie has come out, we've learned a lot more about dinosaurs, and we know that, or maybe yeah. they actually didn't look like this, you know, maybe they, you know, even, well, fucking hell, even fucking Alan Grant's like, oh no, they're all birds or whatever. And like, we now know that that's more closer to fact, that they are a lot more bird-like than reptile-like. The image we have of dinosaurs, and we haven't known about dinosaurs for that long. It was only in like the fucking late 1800s that we first discovered, you know, the first fossils and that sort of stuff.
Well, that's a big dog head.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Who's
yeah.
got this big dog?
Where's this big dog, everyone?
Two men who know plenty about the science, by the way. Yeah.
But no, but the reason like we have the image of like what the classic image of what dinosaurs look like is because like older timey scientists saw the like the bones and like reconstructed them and whatever and went, so what would this look like? And then just basically put a layer of skin over it. But like that's not how, you know, bodies work. Like if you put like if you drew what a rabbit would look like the same way you drew what a dinosaur would look like, you know, from just the bones and like then adding the skin over it, it's like a horrible nightmare creature.
Yeah,
it's like this weird fucking like, you know, really small but like snake like fucking horrible looking nightmare of a beast, you know, when actually no, there's quite a lot of fat and muscle and feathers to take into account, but they're just like, no, little scaly little boys and stuff. So yeah, like our whole perception of like dinosaurs could be way off, which I find fascinating, you know? And the idea that like a T-Rex, the most feared dinosaur in all of the kingdom, the king of the fucking of the dinosaur era, could basically just be a big fucking pigeon. Just a big fat pigeon is very funny to me.
It's true, right? Like, yeah. I love the idea of a scientist way back when creating the first like sketch of what he presumes these things would look like in detail, and they go like, that's the bare bones. Should we add any more to this? No, that'll do.
No, that'll do, mate.
we just can't. And what's more fascinating is the fact that we won't ever know, really. Like, how could we?
Well, you say that. We've learned a lot more.
Yeah,
you
know, true.
Technology advances. We're able to decipher more stuff and stuff. We'll never get a full 100% accurate picture of them. Mm. No. Not until time travel's invented.
Any day now. I wasn't quite ready for how clued in you are.
I like dinosaurs, man. I told you, all right?
What was the most impressive dinosaur in this for you?
T-Rex.
It's unbelievably good,
right?
Looks
amazing. Yeah, like...
Still, which is wild.
When it shows up and, you know, it's in the dark and it's raining and there's a storm and stuff, so they like, use that to their advantage, really.
Mm.
But, like, it's a dinosaur, man. It's a fucking real-life dinosaur. It's phenomenal how good it looks.
I think this is one of the reasons Spielberg is blockbuster king, right? Because, like... Mm. A lot of the time, that's like an age-old thing. You know, if your CGI is a bit wobbly, then, you know, you throw it in a storm, put some rain over it, dim the lights a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly, incredible, right? It looks so much better, you hide all the flaws. But then, like, Spielberg knows you're going to get that trade-off. He knows that, like, you still need to showcase it. So he puts in extra work, like the pupil dilation with the torch in the eye. And it's like, just those tiny little moments go so far in terms of an audience being like, holy shit, this is real. Like, my edge of my seat stuff when the T-Rex is like chasing the Jeep and that. And even though some of it has now like aged out and looks a bit like the stuff that isn't the practical stuff, the CG has obviously got a bit hokier with age and us just knowing what can be done on screen now. Like you watch a Planet of the Apes movie and then you watch this, there's a clear winner. But like it's still... Spielberg's already put in the legwork for you to believe it. So when it becomes apparent that it's not real, you don't care by that point because you're still invested into it.
Yeah, at no point I'm like, well, that's not real. That doesn't look good. Terrible.
Because you've got Jeff Goldblum being like, ah, in the back of a Jeep.
Must go faster.
Yeah. And then that guy, he's like sitting on the handbrake and the guy's like, bloody move. It was very good stuff.
It is good stuff, yeah. But yeah, that T-Rex puppet, it just looks phenomenal, man. The way it like it like comes down on the car, and like the kids, they're like pressed against like the little plexiglass against it as it's trying to like fucking get them. It's so good. It's phenomenal. It looks amazing. Blew my mind as a kid watching it. Blows my mind as a 31-year-old. A 30-year-old. I don't even know how old I am.
You're as old as Jurassic Park is, Nathan.
No, I'm slightly younger.
Okay, fine. I'll allow it for now.
Thank you.
No, but even those moments, like, they never lose sight of like the human and the slight humor of it all. Like,
boring dinosaurs.
No, I know. It all works in tandem, Nathan.
Boring.
Right. No, because you've got like Alan Grant being like their vision is based on movement. Stay still, and then like he's watching the other car with the kids in it flash the torch. Yeah. And he's like, stay still, stay still. And then it's just a hard cut to kids just moving ridiculously.
And you get annoyed watching them. You're like,
you
got to stay still. Why are you not experts in dinosaurs?
Why are you not experts? The young boy is.
He is, to be fair. Yeah,
he should know better.
To be fair, I don't think he'd know to stay perfectly still. He's still a very scared little boy. You know?
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah. It is,
You touched on it briefly there, the kids. A larger subplot of the movie than I thought is reluctant father Alan Grant.
It is quite a big subplot, isn't it?
Mm.
Ellie's like, hey, you hate kids, don't you? And he's like, yeah, I do.
I reckon I do, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like him, I don't want him. I don't want him anywhere near me, ever, all right?
But then by the end, they're having naps on him and all sorts.
They're
he's loving
naps, he's giving them a little hug, you know?
Their actual grandfather, fast asleep at the wheel, doesn't give a shit. Mentally clocked out.
Santa Claus, all right?
Yeah, it's true.
You can't say a bad word against David or Richard Attenborough.
It's true. It's Richard, by the way. Right, I know you know this. I'm sure you do know this.
I kind of know this, but I get
David's the one that does the documentaries.
All right. And this is Richard, who's dead.
Are they brothers?
They're brothers, yeah.
Are they actual brothers?
They're actual brothers. Yes.
I didn't know if this was just a joke that people said.
I'm almost certain they're brothers. Look at them.
I've got to find out.
Look at them.
No, but you can't say look at them because they're both just old men.
No, come on. They look identical.
I don't know if they do.
They're old, white-haired British men, all right?
Richard Attenborough, siblings. All right, fair enough. I fucking told you, all right?
Fucking told you.
Being old and having white hair doesn't give you a resemblance. Okay?
No, they are brothers. I always knew that. What was I going to say?
You just didn't know which one was which.
I just get them confused, all right?
Oh, they're like our modern day equivalent is like the Skarsgårds. There's like 20 of them running around.
But yeah, Richard Attenborough, he's Santa Claus. He's I love him in one of my favorite Christmas movies is Miracle on 34th Street. So like every time I see him, I'm like, oh, it's Santa Claus. Yes, I love this. I'm ready.
Does that magic carry over and that fondness carry over into this?
A little bit. I guess a little bit lost because sometimes he's Scottish and sometimes he isn't. You know?
Right, yeah. And he was like, when I was first growing up in Scotland, I'm like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. He's the accent wobbles, you know, from scene to scene, but whatever, you know. Yeah,
he's forgot where he's from.
I like Hammond. It's this kind of like fucking this Walt Disney-esque role, you know, this kind of this guy who has a dream and he just wants to make the best theme park in the world for people and that kind of stuff. And you know, he's not a bad guy or anything. He just gets a little lost in the sauce of his own design, really.
His heart's in the right place, but he can be very frustrating to watch at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like people are like getting shredded near him, and he's like, it would cost loads of money to turn the park back off and on again. And I'm like, bro, stop. The park's done. You need to let it go at this point.
There's dinosaurs to see, Lawrence.
I know. And then he's like do that thing. It's not very humane, but that thing that can kill them all, do that. That's what you need to be doing.
I don't know. You don't.
You do when there's like this, your grandkids are running around, like his grandkids could have died like five times in this.
But the Brachiosaurus haven't done anything.
Look, there'll be some casualties, all right.
They're just being peaceful little boys eating their leaves, all right.
I didn't bring them into this world. I don't carry the burden. That should be Hammond's burden, not mine.
Hammond only plays God in one respect, and that's giving life to these creatures, all right.
But
okay. He can't play God and kill them all, all right?
All right, fine. I do love that like little debate with the infamous Jeff Goldblum. Oh, you didn't think about whether you could.
Yeah, well done.
And you, thank you. That no, he has a line that's great about like the thing. Like he's been brought in as the rock star scientist. Like his ideas are too hip and modern and fresh. Mm. And then like immediately he sits down and he's like, "You don't respect God, all right? You didn't." It's like, whoa. It's almost like I didn't expect this scientist to be serious when it comes to like nature and everything else.
Yeah.
But he's got a brilliant line about like the power you have. You there was no discipline required to obtain it. Therefore, you don't respect it. And I'm like, God, Dad, this is the stuff I'm talking about. Those are the little nuggets. I'm like, God, this is well written.
Not me. I'm like, snoring. I'm ready to see more dinosaurs. I'm like, boo! Bring back the dinosaurs, boo!
Fair enough. The best part of the movie. I'm not telling exactly. You you're wrong.
It's what the people want to see, man.
What do you make of Nedry? Big big antagonist question mark Nedry?
Well, yes. I don't think there's any debate in that.
He's obviously the bad guy.
Yes, he did like, you know, purposefully set up the downfall of the park where kids were present, you know, and then set all the dinosaurs loose and everything. So
yeah, but like, then he made no money. He was being exploited by the man.
Yeah, I know, and I get that. But then they're also like, God, you're so fat, Nedry. You're so fat. Where is he? Check the vending machine. I bet he's down there being fat.
Yeah, it's true. It's a bit offensive. Like he's treated as this very like his workstation is like this is obviously how a fat guy works, like a slob.
You've seen any good fat guy's workstation? It's covered in like Cheeto packets and like Mountain Dew bottles and everything like this. Of course, that's how every fat guy is in the office. We all know this.
It just makes sense.
He's always wearing a big Hawaiian shirt, which I quite enjoy, to be honest.
That's apparently a Goonies thing. That's like a reference to someone. I haven't seen the Goonies, but someone wears a Hawaiian shirt.
You haven't seen the Goonies?
Shirt. Never seen the Goonies.
Mate, you are missing out. A young Ke-Hee Kwan. Very good.
Yes. And
a young Sam.
Stand By Me kid.
Yes.
Corey Feldman?
No, not Corey Feldman. Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton. Isn't Corey Feldman the guy that goes, do the truffle shuffle?
Wait.
I gotta find out. This is the third look-up of the day.
Well, maybe it is. Yeah.
There's a Sean Astin. There's a Josh Brolin. There's a Corey Feldman. There's a Jeff Cohen.
Josh Brolin. Yes.
There's a Ke-Hee Kwan. There's a Kerry Green. That seems to be the main hitters. Yeah. No Will Wheaton. So it was the. We confused our Stand By Me kids.
Oh no.
I reckon it was probably John Malkovich in that.
Great.
Little callback joke.
Little callback for the two people who will get.
It's not my fault they didn't listen. We're out here just broadcasting. That's on them. They've got to do the research.
Great.
All right, but Nedry. Okay, I think it's good that there's this very like. It's interesting, right? Because he's this character that like. What a frustrating sound.
I love fucking 90s computer interfaces and like and what hacking is perceived to be and you know it's this little like JPEG of Nedry with a little you can't
he took the time
this.
To make that at
he
home.
Like took the time to animate and like design that, you know, which is very funny to me. Yeah, I don't know. And the fucking the computer systems, and it's like, hey, you want a file? All right, we'll fly through this room.
Go through a 3D maze.
Yeah, go through a 3D maze and pick a box.
Your file's behind there. Just guess.
It's like some weird version of Deal or No Deal for some fucking reason.
It is. It's like a CD-ROM game version of Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
There's just a corner of, what's his face? What's he called?
Mr. DNA or whatever?
No, what's he called? The guy?
What, the Deal or No Deal guy?
Yeah.
Noel Edmonds?
Noel Edmonds, that's it. There's just a PNG of him off to the left or something.
Stephen Mulhern now.
Oh, that doesn't have the same source.
It doesn't. Yeah. He does not have the source at all. And fucking Deal or No Deal, when I used to watch it as a kid, it used to be the top prize, £250,000. Now it's £100,000.
Oh, times are tough.
Cost of living crisis.
I might ring him up and be like, listen, dealer. Right? Is it the dealer or the banker? How does it work?
The banker, yeah, it's the banker.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He needs to cut a deal with me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Stephen, there's a place for Stephen Mulhern, but it's not Deal or No Deal. He hasn't got the gravitas.
It's hell.
Yeah. Oh, no!
I don't like him. He does my head.
Oh, really? You're not a fan?
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of him at all.
I think Bradley Walsh is the GOAT right now on the chase.
Well, he's
can't say I'm a big chase watcher, but he always keeps his composure. And when he loses it, it's funny.
He's been doing the chase for years now, Bradley Walsh. And yeah,
I thought Doctor Who would have slowed him down, but he was right back on it.
He didn't miss an episode. He's still there every day, you know, ready to do a chase. Yeah,
he is. Anyway, look, Nedry, right? I bring him up because there's
this...
Stop it! There's this exchange a bit earlier in the film, which is like...
Oh, God, the one with the pedophile or whatever.
Oh, no. We'll get to him.
All right.
There's a line between Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern that's like, God destroys dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man.
God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Man inherit the earth.
Well, man, no, there's a few man, in between there.
Man creates dinosaurs. Mm. Dinosaurs destroy man. Woman inherits the earth.
Yeah.
And kills everyone. I don't know. I can't remember how it goes.
Until they have their frog DNA come out. Or, yeah. And then they're men again or something.
Yeah.
It's a great exchange, but I like that it's like... There is this kind of metaphor for Nedry. Like, 'cause Nedry is the villain of the piece. He's the antagonist. He sets off all the security problems and all of this, right? Mm. But all of those problems are man-made. He causes those problems. The dinosaurs are contained until Nedry fucks about. Yeah. And then Nedry fucks about, and then there's the scene where Nedry is on his way to go and do his little drop-off and get his money at the dock bit, and a dinosaur just poisons him, kills him mercilessly, and then the dinosaurs are the antagonist for the rest of the movie. And it's like... Yeah, that's how this goes. A man does something because he thinks he's clever. A dinosaur goes, well, you've now given power back to us. We're going to kill you and take that power, and now we're the threat. Like, that's just the circle of life. That's nature.
God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs. Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
Great quote.
Yeah, I also didn't listen to like the last 30 seconds of what you said because I was finding that. But I'm sure it was a great point.
Do you know what? It was. And I'm not going to repeat it, right? That's going to be exclusive for you.
I wouldn't ask you to. That's fine.
It's great. I like his inclusion. He's definitely the bad guy, but he's definitely not treated fairly. I can see his motivations for why he went bad guy.
Yeah.
But yeah. What else is going on in this?
Dinosaurs.
Oh, there's a fun moment. I watched this with subtitles very briefly because my wife was doing the hoovering. She just needed to hoover something up quickly. So
that's
how
it is in your house, isn't it?
I'm not having this. I do most of the hoovering and the housework. I'm not having this at all.
Sell down, do your hoovering while the man watches a movie.
I'm kicking my feet up. Get a hoover on, will you?
I've had a hard day editing my little videos, all right?
I know you've just got home from work, but get the hoover on. And there's a beer in the fridge. Fetch me one.
Exactly. He said it himself.
No, it's not true. But no, so I had the subtitles on very, very briefly. And you know the bit where they give the one of the dinosaurs a cow? They deliver him a cow to eat? Yeah, that was when I had the subtitles on. And the subtitles came up as Moose in Fear. And I've never laughed harder.
Yeah, that's quite funny.
It's very fun, yeah. Going back to Nedry's desk a little bit. Is no one going to think it's strange? I've prompted a motif. Is no one going to think it's strange that there's this big barbershop pole garish coloured shaving foam container on Nedry's desk? But then I saw Nedry's desk and you could genuinely put a dead rat on it and it wouldn't feel out of place.
It wouldn't, no. But also it's just a kind of shaving cream. I know to us it looks like a barber pole because we haven't seen that shaving cream before, but to Samuel L. Jackson, it's just if there was a can of Gillette on there or something.
I would still find it weird if someone had shaving cream in the office. You need a shave that bad.
This is Jurassic Park, though.
You're not just
taking a bus down to Jurassic Park, are you?
This isn't
fucking Costa Rica or some shit. So,
yeah.
You're there living there.
All right, fine. Oh, God, then he's really getting underpaid. If it's a live-in position as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking turn off more features, I say. Go on, Nedry.
Do you want to talk about the pedophile?
I don't want to talk about him.
All right. Well, we don't have to.
No, I wrote it down because I'll tell you my thought process, right? Because the guy that plays
him... Do you want to explain the pedophile?
Yeah, well, I'll get to the pedophile.
All right.
So... The pedophile is playing a character called Dodson, who is he's kind of this incognito business guy.
Yes. Right,
who gives Nedry the shaving foam and then promptly disappears from the rest of the movie.
Yes.
But he's quite important because he represents another faction. It's funny because the way he sneaks in and the way he speaks and he's got little sunglasses set up and a hat. He looks like a, something you can change into on Hitman to blend in.
Yes. Yeah,
he has one of them type of outfits on, and I started to write the note. Oh, this guy looks like a hitman guy, and then it was that exact moment I went, oh, this guy is a pedo.
Great,
this guy sucks.
Yeah,
and then I looked it up, and that guy is—he went to jail for 6 years for various assaults of minors. Not great stuff.
Oh, great. Did he actually assault minors?
Some counts were dropped on him, but some weren't, which probably means the others were just dropped, but not untrue. Yeah, not great stuff from him. He's been recast. Richard Parker from the TASM movies now plays him or something.
That's true. Yeah, he's in the Jurassic World Dominion.
Does he come to have a big part?
He's the main villain of that movie. He's like a Tim Apple kind of guy in that movie, though.
He's got a Tim Apple look about him, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does a bit, yeah.
Got that kind of flat hair.
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
We're excited
to talk about some great products that we'll be launching today.
I don't like this name and stuff.
It's good.
All right. Back to the ethical stuff, right? Oh, I've entertained your dino nonsense long enough.
I want more dinosaur talk. I don't think I've had enough dino talk.
Look, I'll free up the floor in a second,
all right?
No, I just think it's a good... There's great little discussions about 65 million years apart in humans and dinosaurs.
Two species that were never meant to interact.
Yeah, but then they're just thrown together and Hammond's like, it'll be fine. And Jeff Goldblum's like, are you an idiot? Why would it be fine?
I think it would be fine.
It's not. It's not fine in this.
No. But this is Nedry's fault.
Yeah. All right. So you're telling me that this entire park can crumble from one man?
But in a controlled environment with not technology from the 90s, where It could all be brought down with a little, you know.
Well, then I raise you a Jurassic World. I'm sure this happens with that modern time as well.
Look, all right. But the thing with Jurassic World was corporate greed, all right? And look, okay. That's the more realistic version of what would happen, all right? that absolutely would happen, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't know. My favorite part of Jurassic World is like, because by then it's like a fully fledged, you know, theme park up and running and stuff. It's your Disney World, like fucking resort, paradise, whatever. But there's like a little bit in that movie where you see there's an area, like a kid's pet play area, but it's just like little versions of dinosaurs that you can like ride on and stuff. Just like a little mini Stegosaurus, a little mini Brachiosaurus, and like the little kids are just riding on them and stuff. And I'm like, this should be what the whole park is, all right?
Yeah.
This is enough, okay? We don't need the big fucking, you know, fucking Verizon sponsored Xenomorph fucking dinosaur 350 with fucking teeth that can rip you apart as soon as it sees you and everything. Just a little play area with some little dinosaurs. Let me sit in there, all right, and enjoy my day. That's more than enough. You know?
I agree, and I love the concept. There's like BD Wong and his scientists around him, right? And they're like, let's create something that would have the power to crush this building and us. Like,
yes.
Stop now. Someone, or like, at least modern science. This all the science is nonsense anyway. Inject them with this passive gene or something.
Like, it also seems kind of stupid that they're like, we bred them all to be female, so there's no way that they'll ever. They'll never breed, you know, on their own because they're all female and that will never happen. Oh, by the way, we also filled in the rest of the DNA with frogs. Yeah. And we don't know anything about frogs. So I reckon that'll be fine. And then Alan Grant is like, well, actually, I know frogs and some of them can change sex. So fuck you, actually.
That's one of my favorite things about this, right? It's such a proud little thing. Even like Hammond is like, he puts them on like this little ride that explains the science and side point. This is how you do exposition. Just have Hammond talk to himself and his own recording. And they like, there's a moment where they walk together on their walking sticks.
Is he going to be there for every version of this ride?
Like, he's locked in. He's got a concept.
He does. Yeah.
But I like that as well, because there's some funny bits where it's like, it's all about cloning, but then there's just like cold, dead-eyed Hammond in the background staring into the middle distance. Like, I've no idea what I'm doing.
I'd like to see that fucking 2 months into operation when Hammond's got sick of it and he's just some like teenager in a polo shirt. Like, hi, John.
you know, in Spider-Man Homecoming, when the teacher's like, when Captain America's like, your coach right here, and he's on the wrong side of the TV and he's like, hi.
I'm pretty sure this dude's a war criminal now, but you know.
Same thing with Hammond. He would also be a war criminal.
He probably would be,
But no, like he straps them all in and he's like, look at my amazing science. And it's like, the whole purpose of the setup of the movie is that like three experts have been brought in to basically convince the lawyer who represents the shareholders that this is fine.
Yeah.
And there's like an accuracy that's being upheld. There's security measures that make it safer, like as a secured investment.
What a sniveling weasel this lawyer is the entire time.
So glad when he died. Yeah.
Just the worst. He's like, oh, we can, you know, sell tickets for 10,000 a go and everything. Yeah. It can be great. And he's just always thinking about the money. I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, I'm glad he's dead too. And that horrible line is like, when Hammond's like, we should have everyone should be able to enjoy this gift that I've given the world. And he's like, we'll have a coupon day. And it's like, you're lucky to be in here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't like Hammond, but he'll decide. Thank you very much. Every day's coupon day.
I would be interested to see what the operating costs of this place are, though. Quite a bit. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you'd probably need to offset it, wouldn't you?
There's a Jurassic World... It's Jurassic World, it's a Jurassic World game which I enjoy playing. It's kind of like City Skylines, but with Jurassic Park. You know, like where you just like make your own like city and stuff. With this, you just like make your own park and like operate it and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like that sort of thing.
You and build up your community and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I always run out of money in like fucking 2 days. So,
you know, I gotta wait for my crops to harvest so I can get more money or something.
I gotta wait for the fucking audience to come through and look at my dinosaurs. And then they're like, your attendees are upset. Build more roads. I'm like, they don't need roads. There's dinosaurs. Just look at the dinosaurs. All right.
Was like, in the early stages of you playing this game, was it like, I have one dinosaur and you're like, pay a tenner now.
Pretty much,
I need two dinosaurs. And then I can charge you 20 quid.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But all right, this was the end of stop motion. This wiped out an industry. This movie did.
It didn't. Essentially, it's still around.
Yes.
I raise you, Aardman.
Yeah. Okay. Give me another.
Whoever did that one that came out like 8 years ago. What was it called?
I don't know, Nathan. That's my point.
No, there was one that came out and I won an Oscar. Like, something about a boy. I can't remember.
Something about a boy.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I wish I knew. But you know about the behind the scenes of all this and how the CG of it came to be?
I mean, I do, but let's say I don't for the audience.
Thanks. No, basically, like, this
Phil
was all...
Tippett?
Yes, he was plotted out to basically do all the stop motion, hired a team of people, and was like, this is how it looks. And Spielberg was like, oh, dead. No, this no. looks shit.
Spielberg went, boo!
Yeah. But, like, I understand where he's coming from. Like, Phil Tippett's work on, like, Star Wars and stuff, it lends a real solid realism to things.
Of course, yeah.
But then, like, just... If you're it's such a specific vision for this movie because you need them to look real. You can't have them look animated. That's the whole point. It falls apart if they're not a visual spectacle.
Yeah.
And then like apparently there's this story where there's like two CG artists that were there to like fill out background work and like come up with real simple background stuff. Who were basically like, Kathleen Kennedy, check this out. And then Kathleen Kennedy was like, do this. This is so much. Do this, please.
Kathleen Kennedy. I thought she was too busy hating Star Wars.
No, Nathan. No, don't be silly.
That's outrageous.
Oh, man.
You're telling me Kathleen Kennedy had a career before Star Wars? Before she destroyed Star Wars?
I don't believe it. She's always been busy plotting or actively pursuing the downfall of Star Wars.
That's where I know her from and nowhere else. So
listen, she hasn't turned Star Wars into a billion-dollar fucking industry in itself. No. She ruined it.
Yeah, she ruined it.
Oh, God.
This is satire.
Yeah, people's misconception of what Kathleen Kennedy does, what her job description is, and her career before Star Wars is hilarious to me.
Her lifelong, very, like... very well-praised career for like years and years and years before
one of the best producers to ever work.
Exactly, yeah. Before George Lucas personally recommended her to take over Lucasfilm.
Yeah. And the people are like, why can't they make cool movies like the old Indiana Jones movies? Oh, the ones that Kathleen Kennedy produced.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. Oh, dear God. People's selective memory is genuinely baffling on the internet sometimes.
It is, yeah. It's quite funny.
All right, do you want to get into some little things? Do you want to talk about dinosaurs? What do you want to do?
I want you to talk about dinosaurs. What's your favourite dinosaur?
It might be boring, but it's the T-Rex. We've already done the T-Rex. Actually, no. Fuck you. It's not my favourite dinosaur, but it's an amazing scene.
All right.
The raptor kitchen scene.
The raptor kitchen scene is good, yeah.
Oh, so
very
good.
Tense, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Also, one of the finest cuts ever. Unless they've learned to open doors. Cut to a raptor just opening a door with ease.
Yeah. That moment where one just, like, jumps up onto, like, the kitchen counter. So good.
Yeah. And it changes the game, right? We've played, like, action-adventure stealth games before, right? Mm. The rules are, if you crouch behind anything, even if you're not covered, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the raptor jumps up on the counter. I'm like, no, that's not fair.
Its field of view has increased.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what it is. You know the boss battle of David in The Last of Us Part 1?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
Where
that.
Where are
like
you, Ellie?
Yeah, and you
I
stab
know
him
you're
once.
Here, Ellie.
Yeah, exactly. And you stab him with a plate once, and then he starts going faster, and you're like, this wasn't fair. This isn't established.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A brilliant scene, which also prompted my mini segment that I wanted to briefly bring up, which is called No One Frames a Shot Like Steven Spielberg.
Okay, there we go. All right.
There's only three. I've only got three.
I thought I was going to have one.
I really limited myself.
Well, I'll let you. You let me gush about dinosaurs. I guess I'll fucking.
Thank you.
Let you gush about your silly little.
I have so many little filmmaking notes. I'm like, I'll breeze over them today. You all had Oppenheimer last week. I'll calm down for a bit. Right. Firstly, the first one's fun, right? Is Alan being hounded by two kids. It's when they all get into the weird, like, on rails cars.
Yes.
And like the little boys
like on rails as well.
No, it's not.
They're just cars which just drive over the rails very clearly.
And I at one point I was looking to see if Spielberg had bothered to line up the center of the car with the rail.
No, not
even. But the camera's panning, so you can't tell.
Oh no, you can at one point. They're very clearly not centered at one point. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, it leads me to another favourite car moment is Jeff Goldblum taps on the monitor and he's like, are there going to be dinosaurs in your dinosaur tour?
Yeah.
No, right. First shot in No One Frames a Shot Like Steven Spielberg is Alan Grant is being hounded by this little boy, just chasing him in and out of cars and like literally follows him for like a good minute. And like Alan Grant is in between a car, shuts the door on the kid. He's like, finally, you think the shot's going to end? Alan Grant turns around, jump scare with a little girl. And he's like, I am never escaping these kids. Great shot, right? No, I'm sorry. You're giving me a look, but it's a great shot. Lesser directors would not have put this effort in.
Okay.
Because they're moving camera rigs through a car. That's not easy for a quick dialogue exchange, but it sells the joke, and I'm all for it. Nathan, no one frames a shot like Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Hey. I don't disagree.
Okay, can I do number two? Or do
yes,
you have a rebuttal?
Yes, please. Okay. Please move on.
Sam Jackson arm thing.
Yeah.
So the raptor is smashing up against Laura Dern. She shut the door, then she falls back into a machine. Sam Jackson's arm wraps around her. It's all safe. Huzzah. Sam Jackson's arm is concealed by a shadow. She's like, it's Sam Jackson, thank God. And then his just severed arm falls off into her hands.
Yeah.
And another left-to-right pan, incredible. Great little reveal of information. Nathan, no one frames a shot like Steven Spielberg.
Okay, great.
And my last one. You know okay. This one. Could you hazard a guess as to what it is? It's the best shot in the movie.
Dinosaur? T-Rex? Yeah.
No, well, maybe it's not the best shot in the movie then.
Okay.
Well. It's in the kitchen scene.
It's not the best shot in the movie, then.
I guess not. It's the raptor running at the girl who's like in like some sort of dumbwaiter, and you think it's just crashed into her, but she was in the reflection the whole time.
Very clever, yeah.
So clever. I don't even know how they did it.
Yeah.
Like, considering the only way you can think of to do it, there'd be a camera in frame the entire time.
I'm surprised one of your best shots... or whatever this fucking segment was.
No one frames a shot like Steven Spielberg.
All right, great. Wasn't the one of, like, the raptor when it's, like, got, the reflection of, like, the computer code all over it and stuff?
I like the shot, but I'm more specifically thinking about, like, movement in the shot. I'm like how the camera whips one side, does something interesting.
Sometimes it's exhausting being your friend.
No, because there's framing up a shot like a composition, but then there's also an actual framing of a shot where the camera moves around, and it's a different thing.
Okay.
Nathan, no one frames a shot like Steven Spielberg.
I get it!
All right, do you want to do dinos? Do you want to do little things? Where you want to go with this? Because we can start wrapping up. I'm going to get exhausted from screaming about Steven
Raptoring
Spielberg.
Up.
Oh, he did it. Very good.
Do I have anything else to say? Dinosaurs are cool. Love dinosaurs. Some great dinosaur moments. What a great big pile of shit. That's cool.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Bit of fun.
Very quotable.
Laura Dern just getting straight into that poo. Wasting no time. Good on her. That, again, another fucking great, like, practical dinosaur. That, like, Stegosaurus that's kind of sickly
and
stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
You can actually, that's the, how impressive is that, that you can actually see it look ill?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't just look like a flopped over, like prosthetic or something. It looks like a real creature that's in pain, yeah.
There is a moment in Jurassic World where they, like, do something similar with, like, an actual puppet and stuff. And like, oh, here's a dinosaur that's sick. It's fell over and stuff. But somehow it's not the same. Somehow from, like, 1993 to 2015, like, it looks worse somehow.
But is there, like, a tangibility in 1993 that, like... Because like, there's pictures of Steven Spielberg like sat having his lunch next to this dinosaur on the floor. Like it's all there.
Yeah.
So maybe that. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen Jurassic World in a long while, so I couldn't really speak on it.
It's a great movie.
I'm excited to get back to it. To be fair,
2015. I love dinosaurs.
I can tell.
A great poet once said, "Ask anybody what's your favorite Sam Jackson part." No one's going to say, what's his name from Jurassic Park?
It's true. It is true. Nathan, the scripts that I write aren't the cleanest.
But when I grip Mike's...
Quentin anyway, Tarantino is a...
genius.
Fuck!
I believe it was Tarantino who said that. I might be wrong.
The real one, or
yeah,
at very least, one of the best impressions of Tarantino I've ever seen.
Sure,
it's great. Come on,
sure.
If you have no idea, it's epic rap battles of history. Nathan and I have a weird knowledge of it.
We did.
Just one of the things that we share. We both just were on. We were online at the right time, and it's more embarrassing for Nathan because he's older than me.
I'm like fucking high. I'm not that much older than you. I'm 30, you're 27, okay?
Yeah, but that's because we're in the off section. Normally you're 4 years older than me.
But no, normally I'm 3. The off section is when I'm 4 years older than
you. You're all about these loopholes, man. I'm telling you.
Stop this.
We've gone like over an hour without mentioning Jeff Goldblum's laugh yet.
What's his laugh?
It's the you know, in the helicopter, he's like,
sounds like Wario.
No, it sounds like Squidward.
Sounds like a Minecraft villager.
A chorus of Minecraft villagers. Also, one thing that I thought was quite amusing just for this podcast's sake is that Nedry has a photo taped to his monitor of J. Robert Oppenheimer.
He does.
So Oppenheimer, last week's episode is part of the series, I'm calling it.
I saw this last night, I was like, why the fuck is that there? Why has he got a photo of Oppenheimer on his...
Doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. Why is Nedry weirdly obsessed with Oppenheimer? He's just like you, for real, man. You and Nedry, two peas in a pod.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's true. That was my last little thing. Anything else? So we can do some recommendations.
No, I love dinosaurs.
I too love dinosaurs. And I'm quite scared about next week. Because I don't remember if I like The Lost World that much.
Get over it.
Okay, I will. Well, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Nathan, it is the time of the show where we recommend some stuff to each other.
Oh, I forgot.
Okay. Well, I can go first anyway. It's fine.
All right, great.
What we do at this point in the show is we recommend something to each other and to our lovely, loyal listeners. It could be something we've watched, read, listened to, experienced. Basically, just anything that we've done in the past week that we'd love to share with you. Nathan, would you like to go first?
What the fuck are you doing?
I always do that thing. I know, but come on. Last couple of episodes, I've been doing this little joke where I throw it to you and you throw it back, and I know it's going to happen.
No, Lawrence, I would not like to go first, would you?
Badum tiss, everyone.
Great.
Nathan, I'm recommending Poor Things, the movie starring Emma Stone, Mark
What's
Ruffalo,
this?
Willem
I've never
Dafoe.
Heard of this.
You have heard of this. We had a conversation about it the other day.
Okay.
I feel like you must know. Are you being polite for the podcast?
Maybe.
Okay. It came out on streaming this week. Use this time to think, Nathan. Think about your recommendation.
All right.
It came out on streaming this week. I think it's a great movie. I think there's this kind of like messaging of empowerment. It's got some great comedy. Mark Ruffalo is like Like, and Emma Stone, they're a pairing that are, like, they have some of the best comedic bits I've seen in a film in a while. Yeah, and it's all, I don't know, this crazy art style when it's all wrapped up in this weird little bow of Yorgos Lanthimos's brain, which is, I would imagine, a scary place to live. But it's a good movie, and it's finally out on streaming, so if you haven't been able to catch it, it is a good time. And it's not very long either, so you can have a breezy time with it.
I won't.
Okay, fine. Nathan, what are you recommending, please?
Maybe I'll go watch Dune 2.
Oh, I had tickets to see that today, but I had to reschedule. I'm now not seeing it till the end of the week, which I'm upset about.
Do you maybe want to explain how you're not just throwing money away there?
Oh, yeah. I've said this before. I have the unlimited thing, so I can just cancel a ticket and lose no money. It's fine.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Have
you seen Dune 1?
No.
You'll have a weird time with Dune 2.
I'll just wait until like they're both out, and then I'll just watch them back to back, and I'll be like, yeah, that was fine.
and then you're like, no, won't talk about that again.
Never again. Wait, what were we doing? What was I saying?
Nathan, you got to recommend something to people.
Yeah, I know, but before that.
I don't know. That was in your head.
I'll tell you what. I've not finished this yet, but... I'm currently watching the Netflix's adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender. I'm halfway through it. I'm four episodes into it. I think it's good. I think it's quite good so far. It's getting quite a bad rap, and undeservedly so, I think. I think people are like, well, it's not the exact same as the version I liked as a kid, so it's bad. And I'm like,
go watch that one.
And yeah, go watch that one. And it's not as good as that one. I will fully admit that, as I love Avatar, The Last Airbender. It's genuinely a phenomenal show. Really well written, absolutely great characters. It's one of the all-time best shows that have been created. And this is good. I think it's a fine adaptation. Quite a good adaptation, if I'm being honest. It genuinely is. Really quite good of what I've seen so far. Again, I'm halfway through, around four episodes into it. The little kid who plays Aang is great, I think. Zuko is phenomenal. Zuko's one of my favorite characters ever.
Danny Zuko, is that right?
No, Prince Zuko.
Oh, I see. Prince Danny Zuko.
Danny Zuko's from Greece.
This avatar is automatic. No. It's hydromatic.
No. Prince.
Come on, Aang. You don't want to be a beauty school dropout.
Stop this.
I haven't seen Grease in a while.
Stop this now. Yeah, it's good. I'm enjoying it.
One of the best Glee covers, Beauty School Dropout.
Glad we're focusing on that part of the recommendation.
I don't know the first thing about Avatar The Last Airbender other than...
Because you refuse to watch anything that you don't already know.
Ben has been hounding me to watch it.
So have I. And if you watch it now because fucking Ben says so, I swear to fucking God.
You two can argue about this. I got a few things in the watch list first. Who knows if I'll ever
get
around
to it. No
one
cares about your shit watch list, all right?
I got to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I need to watch that show.
Why do you?
Because it looks cool.
So does Avatar.
I know, but I don't know anything about Avatar.
What did I just say?
We can't have this round, Nathan. Why does anyone watch anything?
You're scared to watch anything new.
That's not true. Animated. I watch plenty of new things.
No, it's because it's animated and you
I like animated stuff.
What animated stuff do you enjoy watching?
I watched Monsters, Inc. not just some days ago.
You did? Well done. What else?
Thank you. What else was I say? Marcel the Shell is somewhat animated. We're going to be talking about that soon. That's going to be fun.
I don't think we are.
Oh, no. Why?
We've already talked about that.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right, never mind. Strike that from the record. I don't know. Some other stuff. Shut up.
Yo, you don't watch anything animated unless I make you for this podcast. All right?
Shut up. Hang on. No, I'm proving you wrong. That's not true. I'm sure it's not.
Okay.
Hang on.
You might watch the occasional movie, but...
That's watching stuff.
No. You won't watch a TV show. Like,
I watched all of Rebels. I know you forced me to.
Yes. What did I just say, Lawrence?
That's not fair. You can't make this point. It's nasty.
It's true.
No.
Yeah.
I watched Rise of the Guardians a while ago and Princess and the Frog.
Great.
They're good movies. What else have I seen recently? I say a while ago. That was like a couple of weeks ago. I don't know, some other stuff, presumably. Why don't you shut up?
I won't.
Ratatouille, Monsters, Inc. All things I've done this year as part of my watching a movie every day of the year challenge. Thank you very, very much for listening, everyone. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a 5-star review. It would be very much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice, especially Apple, because you can write a little message as well, which would be very, very nice to see. Next week, we are going to be doing this. Hold on to your butts.
Now it's only a matter of time before this lost world is found and pillaged.
Hold on to your butts, too.
It's not Mario, Nathan. Wahoo. It's actually The Lost World. Will we find it? Who knows? You can follow us on Twitter. We are at Another Happy Pod. That's where you'll get post reminders for new episodes that go up every single Friday at 10 a.m.
Side note. I've decided, and I haven't just decided this. I decided this a long time ago, but I fucking hate the way you describe our Twitter.
What?
Because you sell it on the fact that you can get a post reminder, and that's just the most boring thing in existence, okay? It's like, oh, you can be reminded when the episode comes out. Great. Right.
It's just a little bonus. We don't tweet from this one.
But they don't need to know that, right?
All right, go and follow us for absolutely no tweets.
No. Just follow us on Twitter to stay, you know, stay up to date and join in on the conversation.
I say it because it's a good little segue.
It sounds so fucking dull. You must understand that. Can you please change it?
All right, fine.
Follow us on Twitter to keep up to date with any updates or stay involved in the conversation or something.
I'll change it, but I'm keeping this now. So that people know.
Oh. I'll do what you want, I guess.
From next week, I promise it will be different. It is also a place, Nathan, our Twitter. It's a very exciting place where we definitely tweet from. But it's also a place.
And also.
Oh, right. No!
That's kind of largely your fault that there's no fun conversations happening on there because.
Because we've got no fans. No fans come here.
It's not the same on Still Got Legs, is it?
It's very easy to have one conversation every week rather than being like, please come back and talk about this movie. Please, every week is a different thing.
It's because you never tweet anything fun out there. I'm always tweeting fun little memes and stuff.
I'm saving all my fun stuff for my Twitter. That's where I get my traction, Nathan. It's where I'll blow up for making fun of Fast and Furious.
Great.
Thanks. Look, you can also suggest topics on our Twitter if you follow the link in our pinned tweet. No promises, but we have already had a few ones this year. We've had fun with watching The Thing and also Saltburn. We currently have a busy schedule, but you know, we can make exceptions here and there. Nathan, we have another podcast as well, don't we?
We do, and they have great conversations on Twitter. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who rewatch podcast, where every week we watch and discuss an episode of Doctor Who. We just started series 5, so we're getting into the Moffat and Matt Smith era of the show. It's a good fun time to get on board, and we're having a lot of fun with it. We also have a Discord server, which you can join. Link will be down below in the show notes or the description if you're watching and listening on YouTube, which you probably aren't.
Well, no, but you can do. YouTube is up and running now, courtesy of Nathan Bauer himself, Nathan James. So go over there if you fancy, I don't know, commenting, giving us more direct feedback, I guess, than on this.
No, there'll be bonus stuff up there.
There will be bonus stuff up there. Speaking of, summing up, no. Save that for the next show. For Still Got Legs. I was going to do the video, but it's not.
Yeah, you can say it. Yeah, there's a bonus thing up now.
There will be a bonus thing coming up this week.
No, it'll be already be up.
Yes, the week just gone.
No, the day just gone.
The day just gone.
This comes out Friday. It came out on Wednesday.
I'll tell you what, go to the channel. It'll be there. All right?
Okay, great.
It's the simplest way to get this done. lovely stuff. Thank you for listening, everyone. We will see you all next week for a fun Jurassic time in Jurassic March. Goodbye, I guess. Anything else?
I love dinosaurs.
And he loves dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I'll never apologize for that.
No one wants you to. It's a good thing to
you
love.
You do.
I don't.
You always try to destroy my love for dinosaurs.
Only when you destroy my love for Steven Spielberg. This should be a match made in heaven, this series.
Okay, let's move on. All right, bye.
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 Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.